It's good to see everybody tonight. Praise God. Actually, we'll be back next week. We're on the schedule for next week, so my wife will be with me. She said tell everybody hello. She's sorry she couldn't come. She has a Regals event tomorrow night that they're, she was been at the church yesterday and today getting ready for that, and so she wasn't able to. In fact, on my way here, she called and said, can you drop off this or that? And so I had to make some extra time in my schedule to get that to her. So she said, tell everyone hello for her, my wife Amanda, all right? And, of course, we continue to pray and for the Hagen family and for Craig as his health springs forth speedily. Amen? How many of you ever needed that, your health to spring forth speedily? Right? So you know that and have compassion on those who have the same thing going on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, if you got your Bible tonight, I want you to open up to Ephesians chapter 6, if you would please. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, as of a starting place for what we want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about the subject of prayer, but more specifically, one type of prayer, that tonight being the prayer of faith. But let's start in Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. And those of you familiar with Brother Hagen, any of the seminars he taught on prayer, he'd always start with this verse here, verse 18. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying, he says there, with all prayer. Moffat's translation says this, praying at all times in the Spirit with all manner of prayer. Everybody say, with all manner of prayer. Another translation says, praying with all kinds of prayer. So when he says there with all, in the King James, praying always with all prayer, he's talking about different manners of prayers and different kinds of prayers. Well, what do we mean by that? Well, there are different kinds of prayers mentioned in the Bible. And of course, there's a different type of praying that we do in the New Testament as opposed to the Old Covenant type of prayer. We'll talk about that. As we go on here, but we understand in the Old Covenant, you know, we've got it better. How many of you know we have a better covenant established on better promises? And someone said this, I like this statement, that the best of the old is the least of the new. If we've got a better covenant, then it doesn't matter how good it got in the old, it's the least of what it could be in the new. The new covenant's that much better. But if you think about it, Jesus hadn't come yet, had he? You know, but we see people, all kinds of prayers being answered in the Old Covenant. And we've got a better covenant than that. But Jesus hadn't spoiled principalities and powers yet. The devil wasn't defeated yet. But we pray under the New Covenant because, and we have a greater access and a greater standing because Satan has been defeated. And we have authority in the name of Jesus to use that name in prayer. Praise the Lord. So let's start in Matthew chapter 21. Let's look at this verse here. Of course, we will get to Mark 11, but here's how Matthew put this. Now, we mentioned different kinds of prayer, you know, and we'll maybe put a couple against each other to show how different they are, but all kinds of prayer, all the different kinds of prayer and everything concerning God, with God, operate according to certain spiritual laws. We could call them rules if you want, but certain spiritual laws. And how many of you know it's going to work the way God said it is? Amen. And when you want to do it according to the way God said to do it, when we do it God's way, we get the results God said we'd have. Is that correct? Amen. I like that. When we do it God's way, we get what God said would happen. It's just like this, though. How many of you like sports? Is there only one kind of sport, though? How many know there's many different sports? How many different sports are played with a ball? Well, basketball, volleyball, all the ones that say ball. Basketball, volleyball, football. But that's a whole different ball, isn't it? Football is a whole different type of ball than a basketball. But, you know, you don't play baseball by football rules, do you? You have to play according to the rules. Well, prayer is that way. There's certain types of prayer that you pray at certain times that you don't pray that prayer concerning something else. And we'll look at that. We'll contrast that a little bit more in detail. But I wanted to say that and so that you can understand why he talks about different manners of prayer and why that there is no one prayer that just covers it all, other than probably, "Help me, Jesus." Now, that might just cover it all right there. And sometimes, you know, just saying the name of Jesus get the job done. Matthew 21:21. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, 'Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea,' it shall be done." Now verse 22. "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Now notice that again. Now I don't know if you write in your Bible or not, but you ought to underline or mark that phrase, "all things." "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." So this type of prayer, this is the prayer of faith here in verse 22. Prayer, of course, made to the Father in the name of Jesus. But this is something where you have a desire. And that's what Mark 11, in fact, we'll come back and forth here. But let's read Mark 11. Mark 11:24. This was the scripture that got Brother Hagin up off of what he called the bed of affliction, when he found out that certain things concerning this verse, that it was for him today. And that's what we have to understand. This is for us today. Verse 24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire." Now in Matthew, Matthew recorded it as Jesus saying, "all things." Here he says, "whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have." So let's notice that. This is the type of prayer that where you have a desire. You have something you need in your life, and you have a desire for it, okay? Say, "Well, what if my desires are wrong?" Well, then if you got wrong desires, you need to get saved. Hello? Or if you're not living right, repent and get right with God. And then your desires, live out of your spirit. Live out of the inner man. There your desires are right. Where your flesh and your soul are under the submission to your spirit, which is made in the image of God. Amen? Which is born again. You're a new creature. And your desires. You know, people all the time wonder if they got wrong desires. Well, how do you know if you have wrong desires? Well, let me say this to you. First of all, we can never expect to get anything from God that God hasn't already said we have or promised us in His Word. Isn't that right? I mean, we're just wasting our time. That's why Brother Hagin would say this: find the scripture or scriptures that promise you what you have a desire for, and then go to God based on that. But find the scripture first. And so what's the first thing I have to ask myself? Well, if I've got this desire, what does the Bible say about that? Especially, what does the New Testament say about it? Okay? Now, there's a lot of things, obviously, that aren't specifically listed in the Bible that you know, that you're going to go in there and find. You know, some people want, "Well, what about, you know, I want a certain kind of car." Do you realize it doesn't matter very little to God what kind of car you drive? Do you need a car? Yes. Well, there you go. He said He supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, you need to be smart, right? And if you're going to, you know, you're going to go buy a car and you're going to make payments on it, you better make sure you've got the payments ready to make. Well, I'm just going to make the loan and then just believe God to pay it off. Yeah, you're going to struggle. Amen. We don't need testimonies, but I think some might have been there and done that one. But praise the Lord. But here, these desires. So we go to the Word of God. We find out what it is. It applies, and notice this also. It's what you desire, and it's when you pray. So this means these are things that apply to our own personal life, to our own situations and circumstances. It applies to your desires, to what I'm desiring when I pray. I'm not talking about coming together and praying with you concerning something new. That's the prayer of agreement. Matthew 18 talked about that, where two of us shall come together as touching anything that we shall ask, and it shall be done for them. That's where you might say, well, brother, agree with me in prayer. Well, if I'm going to agree, I'm going to have to stop and ask you a few questions. What is it you're desiring, first of all? What are we agreeing about? Because if we don't have a Bible for it, I can't agree with you. Right? Right? And then I want to know what is the outcome going to be. After we pray, what are you going to be believing? Because if I'm believing and you're hoping, that's not going to work. You see. We agree together. We agree together. But that's a different type of prayer. That's where we are concerning something else. Now, we'll talk about there is a situation mentioned in the Bible where you can pray the prayer of faith for others. But it's according to certain examples in that. We'll look at that. But mainly, I want to bring this point out. This is the type of prayer that you pray concerning your own desires and your own needs. Now remember this, we're calling it the prayer of faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Say that with me. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Now, where do we find out God's will? From His Word, right? Don't come to me and ask me if it's God's will for you to have that. You go to the Word of God for yourself and find it. Okay? You go and find it I have to go and find it in the Bible for myself. I can't look at someone else's life and determine if that's the will of God for my life. I have to look and see what God's will say, or God's word says concerning me. Amen? Amen. You know, it's so important in this because I think we've gotten over into in areas sometimes where we haven't really understood some things that we needed to concerning praying and believing God. But when I know it's God's will, I can pray in confidence. Right? I didn't put it on our scripture list, but 1 John chapter 5 says, this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, we know. Everybody say, we know. See, I'm not guessing. I know that I have the petition I have desired of Him. Why? Because I've asked it according to His will. Can you see sometimes that this type of prayer is not something that you rush into? You want to have your foundation built. In other words, it's not that you need evidence to take to God. He knows. But He also talked about, put me in remembrance. And I like to say it this way. Sometimes when I'm praying this, I say, Father, in Your Word it says that You shall supply all my needs according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I thank You, Father, that my needs are met, and then I'll mention that this specific need, whatever it is, that it is met. I believe I receive it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. I was listening to a man teach here on the subject of faith just here recently, and I thought he brought out a very interesting point that I hadn't thought of. I mean, it's kind of in the background that you kind of understood it, but he just said it in a great way, that it's really impossible to have faith in something that Jesus hasn't already provided for you. And that's a good way to say it. You realize this, when we're going to God, this is something that's already been taken care of and paid for by the blood of Jesus, right? Through His death, burial, and resurrection. Our needs being met according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, by our union with Christ, our needs are met. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I like to think of it. I was just talking to our first year students here this last week, and about how that Jesus is the only one that ever wrote out a last will and testament. Any of you have one of those written out? We've got one of those. And but in order for that to go into effect, I have to die. I ain't planning on doing that for a long time, but Jesus is the only one, because a will doesn't go into effect until the person dies, right, that wrote the will. Well, Jesus is the only one that ever wrote a will, died so it would go into effect, and then rose again to make sure you get what he put in the will. Only one. I'm not going to do that. If Jesus tarries, I'm not coming back to make sure my kids, I'll be in heaven. I don't want, you can have all this stuff. It's up to them, right? But Jesus, this will is so great that he came back. He's the only one that ever has done it. I think that's exciting. That's exciting news. Glory to God. Now, sometimes, you know, in prayer, people think we need to end every prayer with, "Father, if it be your will." Well, I must say this. You cannot pray the prayer of faith if you don't always already know it's the will of God. Because you cannot have faith beyond the known will of God. And you cannot have faith beyond what Jesus has already done. And that is his will. Let's look in Luke chapter 22. Now, Jesus did pray a prayer like that. But this type of prayer is a prayer of dedication and consecration. It is one type of prayer. But just because, again, you say if it be your will in this type doesn't mean you say if it be your will in other types of prayer. Luke 22 and verse 42. The King James says, saying, "Father," this is Jesus praying in the garden, remember, "if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Other translations say, "Lord, if it be your will." Here, the King James says, "If you be willing." Actually, willing to remove, if you be willing. But notice how he ended, "Not my will, but yours be done." Now, sometimes, you know, that there is a time to pray that prayer of dedication and consecration. For instance, Brother Greg mentioned about, you know, Rhema. You might know somebody that either you thought about it or you talked about somebody wanted to come to the Bible school. Well, it'd be all right to pray, "Father, if you want me to go to Rhema, I'll go. Whatever your will is, I consecrate. If it be your will, Father, I'll go." Now, that's a perfectly valid prayer. You're praying to what? Dedicate and consecrate yourself to do whatever God's will is. Then, of course, you got to find out what God's will is, right? You say, "Well, how in the world do you do that?" That's a whole other lesson, learning how to pray to get those type of answers. But you can find out. Because why? God wants to speak to every one of his children down on the inside, you know. Now, there's certain things you don't have to pray, "Lord, if it be your will." Some folks, you know, get all kind of weird with stuff. "Lord, if it be your will, then I'll get up this morning." No. I'll tell you what some people ought not never pray. "Lord, if it be your will, I'll take a bath or take a shower." No, you ought to do that every day. That's what God's blessed us in this country. I mean, you go to certain places and they don't have that. We're blessed. Amen. That's just my own little personal thing there. I'm sorry. Okay, but we don't put an "if" in a prayer of faith. And there's certain. Look at John chapter 11. When Jesus was standing in front of the tomb of Lazarus, he didn't say, "Lord, if it be your will." He just said, "Lazarus, come forth." Now here in John chapter 11, verse 41 and 42. "And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me.'" Evidently, he had talked to God ahead of time about this. "And I know that you hear me always." Boy, what a statement. How many of you, do you think God hears you always? Yeah, he absolutely does. Because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. Then in verse 43, he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And know what happened? Lazarus came forth out of the grave. It was interesting. Then it goes on. Jesus told those people, said, "You loose him and let him go out of those bonds." But he didn't say if it be your will. No, he already knew the will of God on it. So you could understand that if you're trying to pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith is the prayer that changes things. It changes situations. It brings something into your possession that you didn't have before. It changes your situation. All right. To pray that type of prayer, you don't say, if it be your will. You're using the wrong rule there, the wrong prayer rule. Does that make sense to you? It's not that you're not way off. You know, we used to, faith people used to be the meanest people they ever met in your life. I mean, because if you said anything that sounded like it wasn't faith, they'd jump all over you. You'd make a bad confession, and they'd agree with you in Jesus' name that that's going to happen just like you said it. Well, where's the love of God in that? You know, you'd people'd say, "Oh, I'm just, it's flu season. I'm just afraid I'm going to get the flu." Well, I believe it's going to happen just like you said it. That's your confession, and you're going to have it. Well, thank you, tool of the devil. Because that sounds like that's what the devil would tell you. Godly person would say, you know, you don't have to have that. You can have healing this year instead of the flu. Amen. And to show them from the scriptures instead of beating them up so they don't ever want to come around church anymore. But anyway, I'm glad I don't hear things like that so much anymore. But I got in this 37, almost 38 years ago. That was, you know, in the early 80s, people were just mean with the Bible. Say, I'll take the Bible, I'll bust God, and I'll just beat you over the head with it. It's a sword, look out, I'm going to cut you up. That's about how people were sometimes. But those days, thank God, Brother Hagin taught us to love one another. Oh, so, not just Brother Hagin, but a lot of folks, you know that. We talk about Brother Hagin because of the ties with Rhema. Amen. So, when praying to change things, we pray and we believe that we receive when we pray. All right? Look at Mark chapter 11 here again. Let's go back to that. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, Jesus said, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now this desire, this has to do with receiving the desires of your heart. It has to do with receiving things. So a lot of times this has to do with pertaining to things that are natural, not just spiritual. Remember, in reference to this, Jesus had just cursed the fig tree, right? That was a natural thing that took place. Now, Brother Hagin testified that when he was on the bed of affliction and he saw this verse, he said he realized later it was the lie of the devil. He heard this. That just means spiritual things. You're sick. That doesn't cover this. And so that set him back for a while. That set him back for a while. But this is not just spiritual things. He said, whatsoever things soever you desire. You desire. See, when we have God's word and his promises, these desires can be met, then we can have those things we desire. Again, if you have wrong desires, then always go to the Word and say, what does the Word say about it? What does the Bible say about it? Amen? Well, you know, in the Old Covenant, God promised them in Deuteronomy chapter 28, 1 through 14, if they would do what was right, he'd bless them coming in, bless them going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. He'd multiply them, take care of all of the things, you know. But if they didn't, all these other things would come on them. He talked to them about, that he'd meet their financial need. He'd prosper them financially. He said that he'd take sickness out of their midst. Glory to God. He said, and you know, when the psalmist said that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, there wasn't even one feeble person among the whole bunch of them. Amen. God is interested in our daily life. He's interested in these natural things. And he has made full provision for us. So all these things that we desire, like a home to live in, the money to pay the electric bill. Come on now. Health in your body. Amen. Favor for your children. All these things, see, and you know, all these things you can think, anything that pertains to life, he's given these things to us through what Jesus did. We're blessed with, the Bible says, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Well, you say, well, that's just spiritual. No, everything in the natural came from the spirit realm. So we're blessed in everything. And then we are partakers of all these things through the knowledge of the Word of God. When we know it belongs to us, then we can partake of it. You think about it. I know for a lot of folks concerning, for instance, Pentecost, and until you understand from the Word of God that being baptized in the Holy Ghost is for you today, and that speaking in tongues is okay for today and needed today, then you won't have anything to do with it until you know it. Right? But once you know it, then you can act on it. And then once you know you receive it, then you realize the benefit. Praise the Lord. But I've known people for years that didn't understand it, didn't see it, and therefore they didn't have anything to do with it. I know people that are that way. They're born again. They're saved. Go on their way to heaven. But they don't know that healing's been taken care of. And they're all the time dealing with sickness, all the time dealing with disease. But praise God, we don't have to. By Jesus' stripes, we were healed. Amen? Now, when you talk about those things, this shouldn't bring you under condemnation and say, well, praise God, if there's more than what I'm living in right now, I want it. I want to know where it is, and I'm thankful that I know how to get it. Now, he says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. So who has to pray this prayer? You. I can't pray this prayer for you. And husbands and wives, you don't pray this. You pray the prayer of agreement together. You can agree according to these things, get the same results. But we're talking here about the prayer of faith where I'm praying for mine. And whatsoever things I desire, when I pray, I believe that I receive. And it's that thing that I'm going to have. I never forget, I heard Dr. Fred Price, he did this at camp meeting downtown in the early 80s. He called up a bunch of people, just grabbed them out of the audience and started asking them, what does Mark 11:24 say you shall have? Well, whatsoever things I desire. Wrong. He's blunt. No. Well, what I believe. Wrong. Well, what is it you're going to have? See, read the whole thing. Those things you desire that you believe you receive when you pray, that's what you're going to have. Don't just make it my desires. Don't just make it what I believe or what I pray for. It's all three of them together. The things you desire when you pray that you believe you receive, you shall have. You see that? It's all of it. It goes together. I like to think of Hebrews 11:6. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Brother Doug Jones says it this way. When we come to God, we come armed with two things. Number one, we believe he is the answer, he is what we've come for. He's the answer to it. Number two, we believe he's a rewarder, or he's going to give us what we ask him for. Amen. And then when we leave that place, we've come to him with our desire. We believe he's the answer to our desire, and we believe he's going to give it. We believe he's given it to us. When we leave that place of prayer, we walk away. It's mine. I have it now. Amen. See, when you pray, you believe you receive it. Now, so when I pray this prayer, and I say, Father, I thank you, and I call a need out to God. I thank you that this thing, in your word, it says, you know, let's just say again, believe that all my needs are met according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for the money to pay, and I, you know, what it was, to pay this electric bill, this utility bill. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I believe I receive it. Now, if you were to ask me, do you have the money? I have it in Jesus' name. Is it in your bank account? I didn't ask God to show it in my bank account. I said, I believed I received it right now. Okay? And I'm sure if you ask me, I said, well, I hope so. No. Hope's future. I have it now. I have it now. And I stay there. I stay there in that place if I believe I received it. When? Back when I prayed. Whenever it was. Now listen, this is what's helped me in this. Every time I'd have a doubt, well, I'd go back to say, wait a minute. Because I prayed that on such and such a day, about such and such a time, and that's when I received it. So Satan, you're trying to mess with me. I recognize that. Because God's not coming to try to talk you out of it. Right? He's not going to try to talk you out of something that he already said you could have. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. So the prayer of faith. Okay? Now, let me end with this, because you can't always get the prayer of faith to work for others, because it's what they have to grow. Unless, one last scripture, James 5. Let's just read this. I'm up against my time here. Hallelujah. James chapter 5. I might just pick up here next week. Who knows? Talk some more about this. You know, this isn't... One thing about the Word of God, you can't exhaust any subject on one sermon. I used to laugh at people and say, well, I've heard that faith message. Oh, you did? Yeah, I heard so-and-so preach on it one time. Okay. James 5, verses 14 and 15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick or heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. But I want you to notice here, who can you pray the prayer of faith for that it's going to heal them? The word saved is the same word as heal, sozo, heal the sick. Who can you pray? That person who has asked you to come and pray for them. Then they have given me the right to pray the prayer of faith on their behalf. Okay? But there comes a time, I would say this, in our Christian life, it's just like your own, you know, how many of you have raised children? Wasn't that a miracle? You know, somebody said they ought to write a book. Well, there's been a lot of books, but none of them cover everything. I mean, but you've raised children, and it's a miracle that they make it. But, you know, there comes a certain time in that child's life that they've got to start doing things on their own. Okay? I can't, you know, we're not playing, here comes the fire truck with their food. You know, they've got to learn to use, you know, you even let them start by how, using their hands. Remember how many of you got those pictures of your child? With that spaghetti all over their face, you know, it's all over, but they're trying, they're getting it. Why? Because you want them one day to be able to pick up the fork for themselves and eat it themselves. I can't do it for them then. And there comes that place in everybody's Christian walk where they have to do it themselves. I can't do it for you any longer. Amen? Well, we have to all get to that place. All right. That's a good place for us to unhook tonight. All right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't you love God's Word? Amen. Amen. You say, well, I want to hear some more. But, well, all right. I'll tell you what. I just feel impressed. We're going to pick up and talk about this some more next time. Will that be all right with you? And that'll be this very next week. I believe everything in order. I know I'm already on that schedule, so we'll just do that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Father, hallelujah, that your word does not return void, but it shall accomplish that thing whereunto you have sent it. And so, Father, we thank you tonight. Father, I thank you as we stand before you in prayer in the name of Jesus, and we pray the prayer of faith that whatsoever things, just as you said, that we desire, when we pray and believe that we receive, we shall have them, Father. Thank you for healing. I thank you for finances. I thank you for natural things. I thank you for the favor of God upon our lives. Thank you for all these things, Lord. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Well, you might be here tonight and you might need prayer for something. Why don't you guys just go ahead and come on up here. This is what we'll do. If you need prayer for anything, then you come on up and when we close out the service, and Glenn and Heather will pray for you according to the Word of God and give you some material. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't leave this place tonight without calling on Him. Come up here and let them pray with you. If you need to get something right with God, or you want prayer for anything else, they're here available to minister to you. Praise the Lord. Brother Greg, did we have first-time guests that you wanted to? We did. So if you had, Miss Jane, do you know who you're getting? Yeah, okay, good. If you're here for the very first time, we wanted you to go with Miss Jane to that special place of prayer. Thank God. Not prayer, but that special place to receive. the gift on behalf of Rhema Bible Church, Oklahoma City. Pastor and Mrs. Hagen and Craig, praise the Lord. We're so glad that you're here tonight. Give them a big hand clap, those that came for the very first time. We hope you come back. Amen. Amen. The rest of us, let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, lift your hands before the Lord. Father, I speak words of blessing. Father, we thank you for your grace, for the love of Christ, for the fellowship of the mighty Holy Spirit. Be upon us, be with us each and every moment of this coming week till we meet again. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Glenn and Heather are here. If you need prayer, please come up. Don't hesitate. Just come right up. They'd love to pray with you. Amen. God bless you.